Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. This is the podcast where I, Spencer, am reading the dictionary and, I add some comments and things and stuff to hopefully make it a little bit more interesting than just me reading the dictionary. If you would be so kind, I would sure appreciate it if you would tell some people about this show, watch it on YouTube, write a comment on the things called the YouTube, write a review, especially on Apple Podcasts, because I love giving the algorithms all of the data that they could possibly eat. You can email me, dictionarypod@gmail.com. You can call the Google Voice number and leave a message, 917-727-5757. You can buy some merchandise. The link is in the show notes. You can follow this show, on the social media, at dictionarypod, and also me, at speedjampar. Are there other things to say? Patreon, of course, Patreon. I always forget about the Patreon. $1 a month gets you very early episodes. All right. We are in the home stretch of the Fs. Just, not a lot left. So here we go. The first word in this episode is... Did I say this is 228? This word is frontier. This is a noun from the 15th century. Number 1A. A border... between two countries. It's the front of one country and the front of another country, and they meet and they kiss and they say, hello, country, this is the frontier. 1B. This one is obsolete. It is a stronghold on a frontier. So maybe it's like the front of the battle. It's the stronghold where the people are holding tight against the other team, the other enemies. So they just called that the frontier? Sure. 2A, a region that forms the margin of settled or developed territory. The region that forms the margin, the edge of the settled or developed territory. So, when you think about America and the Old West, ooh, they're going out to the frontier because a certain portion of the country was settled and developed. But these people, they wanted to go to the frontier, the front, the edge, the margin of the settled and developed and see what's out there. They were explorers. They wanted to see the world and also murder people who were already living there for a very, very long time. 2B, the farthermost limits of knowledge or achievement in a particular subject. The farthest, this is again, same idea. It's like, oh, all the way at the very edge of what we possibly know in a certain subject. Well, what are the frontiers of the subjects that I know? I think I have reached them. I don't think I can reach any more because my brain just can't handle it. It's being filled too much. I'm losing information with all this information that's going in my brain. But what does humans at this point know? We know a lot of stuff. But what are the frontiers? What's the frontier of, AI and quantum and consciousness and space, the universe? All those things, there's a whole frontier out there that we haven't even explored yet because we don't know how. Because we are stupid, stupid humans. 2C, a line of division between different or opposed things. As in, this is a quote, the frontiers separating science and the humanities. That is a quote from R.W. Clarke. A line of division, this is where the edge of one world and the edge of another world meet. Again, it's like they're kissing. So it's the line of division between different or opposed things. Are science and the humanities opposed? Well, they're different, but there's always a little bit of a crossover. They're connected. Everything is connected. So what are the frontiers separating science? What are the frontiers separating science and the humanities? What was R.W. Clarke talking about? It's the edge of this and the edge of this. That's all it is. 2D, a new field for exploitative or developmental activity. A new field. What's a new field? Oh, the new frontier of I don't know. I can't even think because it's a new thing. I can't even come up with a new thing. Someday, somebody will come up with a new thing that will be that we will learn how to exploit and also maybe develop because we are always trying to exploit things. The podcast world, that was a frontier, what, 10, 15 years ago? There were people on the horizon. There were people doing this new thing, and they didn't know what they were doing. And then the whole world said, hey, we're going to do that too. And I was one of them. One of zillions. Frontier is also an adjective. Let's see. No real additional etymology. So, my sound effect, I'm going to bring back this bottle. I forgot to do that in the previous episode. Instead of doing this sound, which is a very good sound, I love that so much, I'm gonna flip it over and do a drummy thing. Although, I guess I should probably do it this way. So, the top of the bottle goes towards the microphone. What's that going to sound like? I mean, come on. Much better. Can it? Yes, it can sit on the bottle top. All right. Now, the next word is frontiersman. Let's see. This is a noun from 1814. I don't think we are going to see frontierswoman. Nope, because it would be next. There were obviously frontierswomen, but we're just using the very generic term again. So, this is a person who lives or works on a frontier. That could be the frontier of a developed land, a frontier of a subject, a frontier of just any of those things. A frontiersman. I should probably keep this in my hand for when I gotta do the sound. Next we have frontispiece. This is a interesting word. I feel like maybe I've heard of it. Maybe in the past episode it came up. I don't remember. It is frontispiece. Frontispiece. Noun from circa 1598, number 1A, the principal front of a building. The frontispiece, the piece on the front. It's the frontispiece. This must be an architectural term or something. I feel like maybe when we had the word front, frontispiece maybe came up. I'm not sure. Sure. Now we have 1B. A decorated pediment over a portico or a window. Again, very architectural. A pediment over a portico or window is a frontispiece, and I just don't know why. Number 2, an illustration preceding and usually facing the title page of a book or magazine. That's also called a frontispiece. I just like saying frontispiece because it's just a silly word. Illustration preceding and usually facing the title page. I have seen these. A whole variety of books. Maybe it's a kid's book, maybe it's not. But sometimes they like to put an illustration. Maybe it's of the main character. Maybe it's of a building. You know, just a thing to wet your whistle, to get you going, to get you in the mood, to give you a little visual, to get that brain stimulated while you're reading, to have all of these visual ideas going on in your head. That's called a frontispiece, probably because it's a piece of thing in the front of the book. Specifically, the etymology says, this is from the Lower Latin, frontispicium, that means facade, and then front or fronds plus specere, which means to look at, and there's more at the word spy, so it's a thing in the front that you're looking at with your eyeballs. So that's the front of a building, a thing over a window, an illustration that you're looking at with your eyes, all of those things. All right, the frontispiece, that's it. Sound time. Frontless. Oh my God, I have no front. What happened to my front? I woke up today with no front. I am frontless. It's an adjective from 1605. This one is archaic. Okay, this is interesting. It's not literally talking about something that has no front, like maybe the building. What's that? Was it Buster Keaton? I think it was maybe Buster Keaton or Charlie Chaplin. I want to say it was Buster Keaton, though, who did that famous stunt where the building, the facade of the building falls down and he lands the window lands right over him. So that building was frontless. But this one that is archaic, the synonym is the word shameless. So I have no shame. If I have no shame, which sometimes I feel like I have on this podcast, then I am frontless. And I don't specifically remember anything about shame when I was talking about the word front, but I guess that was a few days ago, so maybe I did. But yeah, archaic. No shame, no front. I got no front today. Oh, God, I do the sound. Front lit. This is a noun from the 15th century. Number one, a band or phylactery worn on the forehead. All right. Well, I mean, I know what a band is that you can wear on your forehead, but maybe it's a prosthetic forehead, but I need to look up this word. And we must spell it because it has an interesting spelling. P-H-Y-L, I'm trying to type it at the same time, and of course I can't see my fingers. A-C-T-E-R-Y. A phylactery. And how do you pronounce it? Where's the emphasis on this thing? I don't know. It is a small leather box, containing Hebrew texts on vellum worn by Jewish men at morning prayer as a reminder to keep the law. Okay. Interesting. I have not heard of that, but that is a good thing to know because it is good to learn about different things that are different from you, pretty much. All right, so the frontlet is that thing that's worn on the forehead. Okay, and now we got number two. The forehead, especially of an animal, is called a frontlet. Why do you call the forehead of an animal a frontlet? Are you saying that they have a tiny little forehead? Are you saying that they are keeping the Jewish laws in mind as they are walking around the woods? A frontlet. An animal's forehead is a frontlet. Okay. They have much cuter foreheads than I do. So anything... Nope, no etymology. We're just going to move right along and go... Next, we have Frontline. Is that the name of a TV show? I know there's Dateline. I feel like there's Frontline also. This is an adjective from 1915. Number one, relating to being or involved in a frontline. That's frontline two words, which we will have momentarily. The example is frontline ambulances. So these ambulances are right on the front line. You know, maybe they're just ready to go. They're like, hey, we know it's the 4th of July, and we are ready to go because we know a lot of people are going to be blowing their hands off. So we got to be ready to go. We got to be on the front line, ready to turn on the alarm and drive quickly. All right, number two, the synonym is first rate, as in frontline teachers. Those are the kind of teachers that you want. You want the best teachers. There are a lot of schools around the country and around the world that don't have frontline teachers, maybe because the region can't afford frontline teachers. Maybe they're not trained. Maybe they just don't care anymore. Maybe they've been around a while and they're like a dinosaur and they need to retire, or they need a new thing to kick them in the butt and say, hey, you got to be a frontline teacher to these kids. They deserve it. You've been doing this a while. They're taking over the world. Also, the synonym first string, first rate, first string, both synonyms here, which basically are like, these are the best things, the front line. As in the example, a frontline goalie. The goalie, hockey, soccer, football, they're the best goalie. They're the first one that we're going to put out there because they are so good at blocking those balls. When the balls are flying at their faces, they stop them. All right, that was frontline. I'm doing this with one hand. Maybe I should try two, but it's all awkward. I don't know. I could do something fancier later. All right, now we have frontline two words. This is a noun from circa 1797. Number 1A, this is a military line formed by the most advanced tactical combat units. Also, the synonym, which is the 2A2 definition for the word front, which I guess would be this one over here. 2A2 is here, an area of activity or interest. Is that it? Oh, no, wait. I think I went too far. Oh, it's the line of battle. That's what it is. That makes much more sense, considering that the definition was talking about advanced tactical combat units. The front line there. You know, you want your best things in the front of the battle, on the front, when you're meeting the other front, because you're like, these are going to do the most damage. We want to destroy and murder as many people as possible with our advanced tactical combat units. And then, whatever they don't do, whatever they don't kill, they might get destroyed. Then we have the second line come in. All right, number 1B, an area of potential or actual conflict or struggle. The front line, that's where the stuff is happening, on the front line. I don't want to go to the front line. I want to go to the back line. I want to go as far away as possible from most of the activity. Number 2. The most advanced, responsible, or visible position in a field or activity. Maybe the soccer field. Maybe the field hockey field. The water bottle drumming time. That was fine. I don't usually drum by holding something up like this. It's very strange. All right, now we have front load. Two words with a hyphen. Transitive verb from 1976. This is to assign costs or benefits to the early stages of what maybe a contract, a project, or a time period. So you are putting things at the beginning stages. You're front loading your contract, your project, your time period with costs, benefits, maybe a cost-benefit analysis or something. You know, it's all about doing it at the early stages. You're front-loading it. Next we have frontman. Two words, noun from 1932. Number 1, a person serving as a front or figurehead. I would be the frontman for this podcast because I am the only man on this podcast. Number 2, the lead performer in a musical group. It's usually the singer. I can't think of an example where the frontman was not the singer. If there is a singer, but the frontman was somebody else. I mean, I guess there are bands like, for some reason, Metallica is coming to mind. Because I think, is it the drummer is very vocal? In that band, talking about things, and I think might be one of the main writers of the songs. He's not the singer, but he's like kind of the front man, you know, a little bit of the front man. You know, they're in the front, literally. They are doing most of the singing or all the singing, and often they are a songwriter, and so they're probably going to have a lot of stuff to say. They are probably pretty extroverted, so when there's interviews a-happening, they're probably the one who is being asked most of the questions. But, you know, you got to spread the love with the other band members. Maybe if they don't want to be a part of that, then that's cool. That's kind of one of the good things about bands, is that usually there's one or two who are more extroverted and want to be in the front there. But then the other one's like, I just want to play my music, man. I just want to play the bass. I just want to play the drums. I just want to play the harpsichord. I don't want to talk. I just want to play. You can't make me. I'm the back man. You can talk to the front man. All right, next. Anything else about that? Nope, don't think so. I think this bottle is getting old. Don't worry, I'll just finish this episode and then throw it away. In the recycling bin. All right, now we have front matter. Two words, noun from circa 1909. This is matter preceding the main text of a book. The front matter. Well, that's pretty literal. It's the important stuff that's in the front of the book, so it's the front matter. They didn't know what else to call it. It's not the frontispiece, it's the front matter. Next, we have front money, two words, noun from circa 1928. This is money that is paid in advance for a promised service or product. The money at the front of a thing, before the thing happens. If I'm going to write a book, I want some front money. Give me that front money. Tell me a minimum of how much I'm going to get paid when I write my book. My book about what I learned when reading the dictionary. And it's going to be a whole lot of I forgot. It's a very short book. Not a lot of front money in that book, I don't think. I can't make different notes. I can only make the one note. Next we have fronto. Fronto, this is a prefix. It means boundary of an air mass, as in the example, frontogenesis, which is coming up pretty soon, so we'll talk more about that then. Can we squeeze it to make some different sounds? Nah, it's not working so great. All right, next we have front office. Two words, noun from 1900. The policy-making officials of an organization. This is usually hyphenated when used attributively, as in the example, the front office staff. That staff, they are making policies. They're the people high up there who are allowed to make policies. No, we don't want the back office people. We want the front office people. They're the ones who are, you know, making the sales, making the decisions. They're out there in the front. They're the front man of the band office. Yeah. The front office. Yep. I'm definitely not part of the front office at my day job. I don't make decisions, and I don't want to make decisions. All right, part of the problem with this water bottle is that I'm a lefty, and I've been hitting this thing with my right hand because the microphone is on my left side. I mean, I could do... This is awkward, but that's not going to change anything. I mean, it definitely feels more comfortable to play with my left hand. This is very awkward. I don't care. It's an experiment. We're just having fun. We're just making sounds. That's what we do. All right, next is frontogenesis, noun from 1931. So it's fronto with an O, which seems like a funny character in a cartoon or something. And then the word genesis, like the band, the book in the Bible, the beginning of a thing. So this is the coming together into a distinct front of two dissimilar air masses that commonly react upon each other to induce cloud and precipitation. So, you know, we got the air masses, the fronts coming in, the cold fronts, the warm fronts, and then they do some stuff. They're dissimilar. They're different. They're not the same. I don't need to hold this water bottle, but whatever. That's what's happening in this episode. That commonly react upon each other to induce cloud and they come together and they make clouds. And those clouds are made of water, and then they have so much water, they're like, I got too much water! It's a frontogenesis, I'm gonna rain all over you! And then rain. Frontogenesis. I've never heard of that term, I don't think. All right. Water bottle. Make some good sounds. Now we have frontalysis. It is fronto again with L-Y-S-I-S, but I don't think, well, I guess we'll read it to find out. This is a noun from 1934. It is a process tending to destroy a meteorological front. So yes, this is still using the official fronto prefix because it meant boundary of an air mass. The boundary of an air mass, the frontier of the air mass. Is the fronto thing. We're defining it as that. So frontalysis. Now, I don't know what the rest of that word means. I know there's electrolysis and other things, but I don't know what the lysis means. A process tending to destroy a meteorological front. So something is coming at the fronto, the front, the cold front, the warm front, and it destroys it. I don't know what happened. I don't know what sort of thing that would do. It's a frontalysis. It's a noun. The frontalysis is coming to destroy the frontogenesis. The frontogenesis will never be created. Now we have fronton. It's like a wonton, but it's a fronton. It's spelled F-R-O-N-T-O-N. Noun from 1896. It is a Hi-Ali arena. Didn't know that. I know very little about the game Hi-Ali, but I know that it is spelled J-A-I, second word A-L-A-I, Hi-Ali. And, you know, it's a very dangerous game because those balls are flying at high, high speeds. So the room, the arena that they play in is the fronton. Oh, I love words I don't know. So this is a Spanish word. I guess they would pronounce it fronton, which means gable, or it means wall of a pelota court. And a pelota, I believe, is a ball. So it's a ball court. So the wall of a pelota court. And I know Hi-Ali is played against a wall. You know, there's a wall next to them, but then there's a wall that they're throwing the balls at. And I think it's open on the other side, which seems dangerous. Or maybe that's just a glass wall. And then what else does the etymology say? Also just means fronton, which is the same word. It's an augmented form of the word frente, which means forehead, which is interesting. I don't understand why it's connected to forehead. Your forehead is the wall of a pelota court? Are they playing Hi-Ali inside of my brain and they're using my forehead on the inside as a wall to bounce ball? Well, that actually makes a lot of sense. That really explains a lot. I got my brain case, my skull, is a fronton for the tiny little Hi-Ali players in my head, and sometimes the sounds that they make in there are like this. Next, we have front page, first form, two words with a hyphen. It is an adjective from 1917. This means printed on the front page of a newspaper, and then also very newsworthy. It's so newsworthy, we had to put it on the front page. Hopefully, for the news, it's on the top half of the front page because they fold it usually one way. And then if it's on the top half, then people are probably going to see that top half first. Front page. Front page news. Spencer reads the dictionary. I want to do something different, but it's so hard. That's lame. The second form of front page is a transitive verb from 1929. Water bottle, you're just going under the arm. Oh no, this is very short. We got a whole lot of short definitions, so we got to be ready. We got to be ready with the bottle. So this is to print or report on the front page. Let's go front page, some front page news. News people. Front room, two words. Noun from 1781. The synonyms are living room and parlor. It's the front room. Is the living room in the front of the house? I don't know. Maybe literally, but maybe also it's metaphorical. It's a metaphorical front room. It's the first room that you go to. It's the main room that you're spending your time in, the parlor. Should we go retire to the parlor? That's a very bad accent. I'm so sorry about that. We now shall go to the very last word. It is front runner, two words with a hyphen. This is a noun from 1914. Number one, a contestant who runs best when in the lead. They run best when they're in the lead? It seems like they got to the lead because they run best compared to everybody else. The front runner. They're the main one. We think that they're going to win. Number two, a leading contestant in, or as if in, a rivalry or competition, as in a political front runner. They're the one that we are pretty sure is going to win, but I'm always a fan of the underdog. Not always. If I don't like them, I'm not a fan of the underdog. I'm definitely a fan of the front runner in that situation. But, you know, sometimes just like, hey, I don't care, but I want to go for the underdog. You know, make them feel good. Make them feel good that they actually won. They took over. They beat the front runner. Who's the front runner in this podcast? It's the water bottle. The water bottle is going to win the race. All right. You know, these words were fine. It's a luck of the draw on how these episodes are going to go based on the words. So let's pick one as the word of the episode. Today we had frontier, frontiersman, frontispiece, frontless, frontlit, frontline, front load, front man, front matter, front money, fronto, front office, frontogenesis, frontolysis, fronton, front page, front room, and front runner. Oh, those were all the words. We only have one more front word, which will be in the next episode. Of course, it's not going to be in the episode after that. That doesn't make any sense. I think because it was a bit more different than the rest of them, and I like things that are different, I think I shall pick fronton as the word of the episode. They're playing high a lie in a fronton. The balls are flying all over the place. It's a fronton arena. Yep, that's it. Let's stop. You don't have to keep on going. All right, now I'm going to tell you about a movie that I watched. We watched The Vanishing, which I don't think I had heard of before. It's from the Netherlands and France, and I'm trying to think of what to say to not really give anything away. Somebody vanishes, and most of the movie is kind of about trying to find them or how they vanished. It's much more interesting, I think, than I expected it to be, or I, it's worth it. It's from the 80s, I think. I want to say the late 80s, the ladies. And, it gets a little bit different than I would have thought. So yes, worth a watch. The Vanishing, there's a lot of French being spoken, and I guess it would be Dutch. Worth a watch. And you know, it's from the 80s, so there's, you know, it's just fun to see stuff from many, many years ago. This is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for checking it out, listening to my bad water bottle plan. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.